Hi, and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with
Chris,
Dan,
me.
Hey.
We're back again.
Hello.
I guess we've got some more news.
Considering we said we wouldn't be back for a month last time.
Doesn't time fly when you're having fun. We'll try and keep this one under 90 minutes tonight.
Even our predictions about when we're going to make a podcast are out.
So don't listen to anything we say. Or listen to everything we say.
Listen to everything we say, just don't take any notice of it.
Yeah, free pinch of salt available with each download.
That's it.
Chris, you have the running order in our new 2016 running order book.
I do. I have to be very careful with this one. Haas pass crash test is the first item on the list, because that's exactly what's happened. They've taken their car for a crash test, in which every car has to pass the crash test.
And they passed.
Yeah, they've passed. Yeah, so their car is safe to race, basically, and they can start building their car ready for testing. In February.
Incidentally, Lotus are 75 crash tests in lieu, so they don't have to do one.
Yes, the Lotus or whatever team Pastor's driving for have to do more stringent crash tests.
Yeah.
Or do they use a Lotus as the crash tester rather than the crash test team?
I think they just ask Pastor Maldonado to go for a drive.
The crash test dummy.
I believe they call it crash testing in the field.
Yeah. In the field, in the barrier, in the paddock.
He's going to fuck it all up next year with the championship.
So, yeah, I mean, positive news for Gene Haas and the Haas F1 team.
Yeah.
I mean, that is really good, because most new teams don't seem to actually pass first time round.
No. Stewart F1, I remember they took 3 or 4 attempts at passing the crash test. Right.
McLaren last year had a couple of pops as well, didn't they? I don't think they passed in the first go. McLaren off.
They had a problem with their nose, if I remember right.
I can't remember what it was, but I've for a couple of years, I know there's been a couple of times that they haven't passed the crash test first go. I think it was either last year or the year before that they only passed the crash test like just before the first test.
Well, remember the other year with McLaren where they just ended up scrapping the car because they didn't pass the crash test for the whole season.
Yep.
I can't remember what year. Was that 2002, was it?
Possibly. I know they scrapped their 98 car, but then realised... 99 car, and they couldn't realise that the 98 car was faster.
Yeah.
And so they just went back to the 98 car and changed it slightly.
Yeah, I think it was either 2002 or the 2003 that just ended up not bothering with the car, and then the following year's car was meant to be an evolution of that. And it stank.
Mm, yeah, that sounds about right.
But, they were still actually doing the crash test into about June or July.
Oh dear.
So, you know, if they can
stop then, wouldn't you?
They did. Oh. They did. Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, if Haas can do it first time, then well done, Ferrari.
Yeah.
Very good. Moving on. More cynicism. We mentioned briefly last week about how available we were for Channel 4's new presenting team in the UK for Formula 1 free-to-air races. However, it seems that a couple of presenters who have some experience might have beaten us to it.
Yeah, we got gazumped by David Coulthard.
Coulthard.
Personally, he was always like my sort of eighth favourite driver. And
because he always finished eighth.
I look forward to working with him.
No, David Coulthard has been announced as a presenter for the Channel 4 team, mainly because his television company has won the broadcasting rights to cover the sport for Channel 4.
Well, you say it's his television company. I believe someone else owns a stake in it.
Yes, Dan. I'm glad you brought that up.
It's almost like we've got a script.
It is. A former BBC...
Script?
I should have seen a script.
Former BBC F1 presenter and CBBC favourite Jake Humphrey could very well be on his way back to Formula 1 presenting as well. His BT Sport contract is not exclusive, so it allows him to work with other broadcasters. And he's a fan of the sport, hence why he got the BBC gig.
Yeah.
He's my favourite anchor, I think. You know, of like, people that have been done the anchor thing on for Formula 1.
Yeah,
he's a good presenter.
Yeah, well, you've got that sort of... common man thing about him having your way. So there's sometimes where he's put in a situation and you feel it's what the fan would be like if you put the
yeah, that's why I think it's very relatable when you're watching the television.
Yeah, I think for all of us in Britain, basically, he's not Jim Rosenthal.
Yeah, that's it.
Or your man off Sky, I think he's an idiot.
The Simon Lazenby.
Yeah.
Who they got from cricket?
Is that it? Did they?
He used to do cricket before they had F1.
Oh, I don't know, but he's the worst thing about the Sky coverage, I think.
I wouldn't tend to disagree with you on that one, Lee. it's for UK anyway. We know that Formula One management have always wanted a free to air. Well, not always. They wanted free to air
when they realised that was television service massively down.
Well, yeah, and also because the subscriptions. What happens, of course, when subscriptions go down, or there aren't as many people signing up as they wanted to. You've got the advertisers getting on their backs. Well, why aren't we? You promised us X amount of million viewers worldwide. This isn't happening because you're running subscription TV services rather than free to air. So that's why.
And talking to the common man, when Sky's coverage is brought to you by Rolex. Yeah. It's not something that we're all sort of deeply in touch with.
Yeah, I mean, good timing apparently, but I'm not sure that Rolex. You could use a Rolex, I don't think, to time Sebastian Vettel's fastest lap.
There's always been a watch manufacturer that you can't afford to buy their watches that are involved in the timekeeping of Formula One, hasn't there?
Or Tag Heuer,
etc. Yeah, you're not going to get Formula One brought to you by
Casio.
Yeah, or the guy off the market.
Yeah, I went in when I was on holiday once. I walked past a Tag shop. And I was trying to spend the dollars that I had left while I was on holiday. I think I had like $600 in my pocket. And I saw Kimi Raikkonen wearing a Tag watch in the window. At first I was amazed to be in America and see a Formula One driver advertising something.
Yeah.
But so I went in and I thought, all right, I'm leaving in like 2 hours.
So you already had a watch?
Lee
looked at his wrist when he said that.
Well, he knew that he was leaving in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Given that his wrist's currently empty, we know how this story's going to end.
Yeah. doesn't go well.
Spoiler alert.
I went into the shop with like $550, $600, wherever it was, thinking, right, if I walk out with none of this to get on the plane, that's fine. I might walk out with a watch. Went in there and pretty unashamedly the woman said, can I help you? I said, direct me to your cheapest Tag. And she showed me the watches that were there, and it turned out that I needed another $1,000 to get the cheapest watch in the chain.
Right, fair enough.
The 600 would have probably bought you a replacement buckle or something.
Yeah. Can I buy that poster of Kimi Raikkonen?
Yeah, it's kind of half an ounce of watch polish.
I really wish I'd said that.
So yeah, that's what's going on with watch manufacturers sponsoring television companies.
I wonder how many companies say, yeah, because we're a few sponsors short on Formula One cars, aren't we? For some of them. But even like the teams that are sponsored, like for Williams getting in with this fridge company or wherever it is, the sponsorship, because they're making
fridges for supermarkets.
Yeah.
Well, they're making aerodynamic fridge shelves.
But I think that's getting some space on the car, isn't
it? Why do you need an aerodynamic shelf in your fridge?
Because the air circulates around the fridge and it actually uses less power in the fridge. It was you that showed us the infographic on this. It makes the fridge 25%. It cuts it down to 25% of its running costs.
If you listen back at about 5 podcasts, we do a big segment on it.
Do you know what?
You were here.
I don't remember what happened last week.
Williams making fridges for Sainsbury's.
Yeah, I don't vaguely remember something like that.
It was you that sent it round to us all and said, guys, this is really cool. Ha ha.
Possibly. I've had a tough week. It's been very difficult to remember anything other than my name. I even went the wrong way to work this morning. So...
Now, bearing in mind,
I think we had the chocolate covered Lotus biscuits that week.
I remember now.
do you think there's big companies out there though? Say at an Apple or a Coca-Cola or you know, a company that have a history of sponsoring pretty much anything that stays still long enough for them to write their name on the side of it.
Yeah.
Might be looking at sponsoring a McLaren.
Well, yeah, but looking at coming into Formula One and...
Commissioner Damien Hirst of painting.
Stephen Hawking to paint it, if you want to.
just looking at... Is that a Banksy on the side of Jensen's car?
Yeah, it's an eyesore. It's been stuck there hours.
But do you think there's companies out there that are looking at it going, well, we'd like to come in to something like this because we'd like to be associated with a brand like Formula One, but there simply isn't enough eyes on it?
Yeah, that is possible.
I think that might be the case. I mean, Coca-Cola do a lot of sponsorship with American motorsport.
Everything.
And football.
Yeah.
And... soccer for the American listener. Various other things. But, I mean, if Formula One attracted more viewers...
I'm amazed there isn't Apple. Something to do with Apple there.
But do Apple sponsor anything else?
No, you're probably right.
TV programmes.
Yeah. Mm. You too.
Yeah. I suppose they own Beats now, so
every footballer.
Every footballer, yeah.
Mm.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if Apple start creeping in and we see every driver warming up for the race, listening to something on his Beats, so he doesn't actually get to hear any music. He just hears a lot of dumb stuff.
I could sit saying this now with Apple and iTunes and stuff. I could see them making their way into Formula One using the vehicle of Lewis Hamilton.
Mm.
I could see that being a thing that would work well.
He's a very marketable
world
champions, as discussed in the past.
He'd suit one of them, you know, those funky iTunes adverts.
Probably would.
Mm. Oh, does that mean that they're going to give his album away and we'll all have to listen to it?
Oh, yeah. No, it would just suddenly appear on your Apple account.
Oh,
yeah. It was like U2's reverse burglary, wasn't it?
A reverse burglary.
Yeah.
Snuck in and gave you something you didn't want.
Nothing short of vandalism.
I've been put pocketed.
Put pocketed. Yeah.
Jesus, just take the money, just take it away.
Talking of Lewis, his team, Mercedes, are expected to continue their dominance this year.
Mm-hmm.
It was that smooth.
This Segway was sponsored by Segway.
And not the cheap ones off the market that burst in the flames.
No, it probably was.
I thought it was as smooth as one of Lewis's gear changes.
Quick note, the amount of those things that are going on fire, nobody has any reason to be surprised about it anymore.
Every time I see a child on one of them, I'm like, go on.
Yeah.
Go on. Burst into flames. Catch fire.
I saw that the other day. Please.
Let me see this. Please.
I will help in reasonable time.
After I've stopped laughing. But the Mercedes team are expected to continue their dominance, but Manisha Kaltenborn has said something a little bit weird about Mercedes' current dominance, but it's not.
Careful what you say, she's a lawyer.
Yeah, no, be careful. But their continued dominance, and she believes it's going to continue into 2016, but what was it that she said exactly? It was something along the lines of, I don't care if Mercedes continue to dominate, so long as they don't abuse their power.
Yeah, I think so, but isn't that exactly what's going on?
That's exactly what's going on.
I mean, how could Mercedes abuse their power? For example, offering three drivers two seats in the team for next season?
We know who specialises.
I don't think that's abusing power, I just think that's some awful business.
That's just plain not being able to catch.
Which is terrible if you want to be a lawyer.
Yeah,
hang on.
In her defence, she's a lawyer and not a mathematician.
Yes, but she...
You don't need Caravaggio to throw you.
No, you don't. But if you're not a very good mathematician, why are you head of a Formula One team?
Well, it's true.
Somebody else do the maths for me. I'm busy fighting businesses who want money off us, but I don't know what that is because I don't do maths.
Don't bother Ulrich, if you have some beans, have sure, some more beans.
Wait a second, if I paint my cars blue and yellow, I get lots more of this thing.
I love the fact that maybe...
Paint our cars blue and yellow!
Maybe when there was talk of teams dropping out, all the third car talks were going around. She was like, yeah, three cars, right, Sam? Yeah, yeah, we've got three drivers, we're grand. Yeah. It's, like, it's not happening, you know. Oh, shit.
What's
that
three?
Might be, that could have been a good defence, actually. Well, the rules were changing and we were preparing for a third car, Formula One, and so we got Guido in and we don't know what we were doing, really, because he's a terrible human.
Yeah, but I mean, if she was going to get three drivers, she could have at least hired three drivers.
What would you have in your defence? Buyer's remorse, if I'm honest.
Apparently you can't return within 30 days. So you just turned up in someone else's race suit. It's a bit awkward, really.
Your Honour, have you never got drunk and bought something on eBay that you didn't really need?
Come on, we've all done it. You get home and there's an Amazon parcel there. Yes. What the? What is this? And you open it up and you go...
And it's Guido Undergaard. What?
Bernie Eccleston in the back row. Yep, the amount of times I've bought a person and gone, I don't want him.
The amount of money I keep throwing at Ferrari and they still don't win. But yeah, another piece of Mercedes news, Rosberg and Hamilton might be allowed to race this year. The other drivers on the grid and each other. Obviously, we discussed this...
I'll never catch up.
Yeah, but we discussed this briefly before we started recording, and Lee, you made a great point about...
Did I?
Yeah, you did, about that just let Ferrari in the back door. Because if Rosberg and Hamilton had been allowed to race each other...
Oh, I think, yeah, the Lewis and Rosberg could easily win somebody a world championship next year.
Probably Sebastian Vettel. And I don't see why Mercedes would do something like that to the detriment of their team game, but Toto Wolff has said he's seriously considering allowing each driver to choose their own strategy for the race. It could be a very harsh lesson for them. You know, after two or three races, if they've been choosing their own strategy and they've either lost position or they are. They were in serious danger of losing a podium to Ferrari or they've lost a race to somebody else. I think that's when they go, right, you've had your fun, now listen to us.
Yeah, but I don't think it'll happen, because if the, let's say for instance they allow Nico and Lewis more flexibility with the strategies, or more flexibility during the race, you know, to change strategies, and it all goes wrong. It won't be the media and the public looking at, say, Lewis Hamilton, who stayed out too long on a set of tyres, is the problem. It'll be everybody looking at Toto Wolff going, well, you did this.
Yeah, and also,
you're supposed to be in charge of this
team.
And
also what that essentially does is splits the Mercedes garage into two teams.
Well, to be perfectly honest, I think it wouldn't it be great if you could work something out in Formula One which did that. Make an incentive to...
Well, that's how Benetton used to run things, because there was Schumacher's side of the garage and then there was...
His teammate.
Yeah.
No, yeah, but I mean, you mean... What we mean is having, like, essentially two A cars, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, basically,
you know, split the team so they've got nothing in common with each other.
Well, hey, I was just in the kitchen and Dave didn't know that he was taught that I could hear him talking to Jeff, but he said that they're running the soft tyre at the end of the race. So should we change it round and like run the hard tyre at the end of the race?
So basically be talking two-way cars for two-way hulls.
Ooh.
I was holding that one back, but I just thought, no.
Fair enough.
I mean, that sort of thing might work. I mean, Schumacher was notorious for not sharing data with his teammate and his teammate's mechanics.
During 96, when Damon won the world championship,
Schumacher's first year at Ferrari.
Yeah, but Villeneuve's side of the garage started talking in French so that information didn't spill over.
I remember that. There was all kinds of uproar about
it. Well, Lewis Hamilton said something similar.
It is a completely secret code.
Yeah, Lewis Hamilton said something similar in the past, though.
He speaks to his engineers in Brap.
No, he speaks to his engineers in English, but Nico speaks to Toto Wolff and Niki Lauda in in German. Obviously, the Toto and Nicky are Austrian, but they both speak German.
Farm German,
yeah.
But I've actually noticed with Rosberg, though, he does that with anybody when Lewis Hamilton's there.
Yeah, that's it. He speaks to Vettel in German.
Yeah.
And
he speaks to Fernando in Spanish.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Nico knows about 8 languages, isn't
it? Yeah, that's
what I mean. It's a psychological thing.
He tries to isolate Lewis when they're in the driver room.
And he does it when they're in the team, apparently. Yeah. Lewis Hamilton has actually said, well, you know, that's what he does. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he said. So
if only there was some way to learn.
There's an app for that. There's more than one app for that, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, Lewis could learn the app while he's out for a run on his beats.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
See, there is use for beats in Formula One.
So that's
because you wouldn't want to listen to music on them.
2017, Lewis Hamilton's going to be sponsored by Beats and Rosetta Stone.
And to get him speaking English.
No.
In it.
That's never going to happen.
No.
I mean, teammates racing is awesome. And look what happens when you don't allow it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Williams, Silverstone.
Yeah.
You forget how to win.
You've got to have that competition between each side of the garage, and each driver. It's got to be, you know, it's got to be friendly competition, mm-hmm. but it can still be fierce, and it can still be fought and won and lost either in the garage mm-hmm. or out on the circuit. But at the end of the day, you've got to remember you're all part of the same team. And you've got to shake hands at the end of the day and have your team photo taken with everybody and saying, we're the team, we won that race, or with, doesn't matter if you're the side of the garage that lost that race, come with us because you put up a really good fight.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're the team that didn't win the race, you don't get to do any of that because you were too busy in fighting with your own team.
Yeah. I think it goes beyond winning and losing, this sort of thing, because it's not, if you get teammates together fighting with each other, there's always drama. It doesn't matter whether it's, you could get, we still talk about that one race where Lewis and Rosberg like really raced each other, don't we?
Bahrain.
We still talk about that race.
Yeah, because it was amazing. Yeah,
it was ace. But then if you look at the other side of it where things go horribly wrong, take
Belgium.
Well, no, I was going to say take Senna and Prost, for instance. Yeah, so that went pretty much as bad as a teammate situation can go. Yet the team didn't come out of it badly for it. I don't think either Senna or Prost came off particularly bad
At the time.
It was 6-1, half a dozen of the other.
Yeah.
But with that, but it's still
talked about 20 years later.
There's still quite a lot of glory in that. You know, it's
yeah.
You know, there is, and I just think that 30 years.
Yeah,
but if you have that, if you take the other side of it, being a Ferrari with Schumacher and whoever his Stig happened to be. It's tainted that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
I know what you mean. Yeah, you've got like Schumacher.
Yeah, even Vettel. You know, Vettel's been... He deserves...
Rubens, your brakes are overheating. Slow down.
Yeah. I saw
Felipe, Fernando is faster than you.
Yeah. Mm. Well, see, that's... I mean, I think that was worse than any Schumacher era moment for Ferrari. Apart from maybe the shift in... Rubens onto the top step when he let Schumacher win a race.
That was funny. I know there was a lot of controversy about that.
I thought it was disgusting.
The whole thing, pulling mm-hmm. over on the very last corner. Well, just not after the last corner to let Schumacher win the race. That was disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
But the podium bit that for me was.
Well, whichever way you look at it, it's match fixing.
It is, of course, it is.
Yeah. No, I know. Fair enough. Like if you look at a sport that you gamble on, I mean, I realize if you decide to gamble on a sport, it's your own fault. You know, you've made that choice.
Yeah.
And you are then at the whim of whatever parameters are involved in what you're dealing with. But say you had a load of money on Rubens Barrichello to win that race.
Yeah. Then you deserve what you get.
Well, yeah. you obviously don't know much about Ferrari and Schumacher. Yeah. But it's not good. But that's what I mean. I just think in all situations, even if cars smash into each other...
I think there was quite a lot of bookmakers actually paid out in a Barrichello win on that.
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
But even if cars smash into each other, I still think you are better, you look better, and your brand looks better for it. I mean, Ferrari will always be Ferrari, so in some ways they're infallible to damage.
Okay, well look at when the two McLarens, the infamous incident we just sort of kind of referring to between Senna and Prost for the World Championship at Suzuka. That gets
which one of the two?
Yeah.
Well,
when they were on the same team.
When they were on the same team, yeah. But the you see the both McLarens hit each other on the entrance of the chicane, and then they both come to a stop. What do you always see every single time? Marlborough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, no matter what anybody says about that, the that clip for Marlborough is there must be entire seasons of Formula One where Marlborough have been involved that they haven't got the coverage from that 30-second clip.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then again, like the following season when Prost was in the Ferrari and Senna ploughed straight into him into the first corner.
Yeah.
First thing you see when the dust clears, Marlborough.
Yeah.
On the McLaren straight away. So yeah, there is that sort of, you know, create something exciting and it will be replayed over and over. So the sponsors should really be pushing for, not that the sponsors get an awful lot of say in what happens in the team, but they just tend to buy bits of the car. But
compare the coverage of the Mercedes team in 2014 and 2015.
Yeah.
They must have got much more camera time in 2014 when their drivers were close together and racing each other.
Yeah, they must have
done. Than in 2015 where there wasn't really any race where for more than a lap or two there was any danger of an overtake.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, that's just occurred to me, actually. Apple wouldn't sponsor Lewis because Mercedes is sponsored by BlackBerry.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but how long is BlackBerry going to be a sponsor for?
Do Apple really see BlackBerry as competition?
I know. I mean, let's face
BlackBerry
it.
BlackBerry see Apple as competition.
Yeah. The only thing I can think is that at least if BlackBerry is stuck on the side of the Mercedes car, they know legally a few of them have to own BlackBerrys. So I'd imagine they're the only ones out in the wild now.
Yeah, it's kind of a good fortnightly reminder that BlackBerry still exist. Well, we've gone quiet.
We have.
Yes. What do we have? What do we have next?
The intervention. And I'm not talking about anything divine.
No, Pirelli, we've asked you to come here because we care about you.
Yeah. Although this time it's not people. No, they need an intervention.
Yes.
A Pirelli spokesman who remains unnamed, I believe.
I think the BBC reported it as sources say.
Sources, a lot like HP and Daddy's Ketchup.
Not Daddy's. Who buys Daddy's?
Daddy's Ketchup was all right.
No, it's not.
Right. I like the face. It turned it upside down. It's still a face.
Get Heinz or get home.
Tidbits brown sauce all the way, but you can't get it anymore.
Yeah, it's a Pirelli spokesman essentially saying that the 5 seconds that we're hoping to see in 2017 is too much.
The 5 second per lap improvement.
Yeah, and I don't. It seems like a bit of toss, to be perfectly
honest. Like sour grapes almost. It's almost like, well, with the current tyres, they wouldn't be able to withstand the downforce requirements and the speed. So
I think Pirelli are throwing a Renault.
Yeah, I think they might be. And then, we can't do that because... And then it's just like, well, why don't you build a better tyre? Why don't you build a tyre that's going to... Well, no one knows what the structure is going to be for 2017. So if you don't know what the structure of the tyre is going to be...
Yeah, how do you know there's going to be a problem?
Yeah, how do you know?
Yeah.
Why don't you build it so it isn't a problem?
I mean, the only thing I'll say for them is I understand how difficult it must be to build a tyre for a prototype series when there's a massive rule shift and everything will be shrouded in secrecy.
Because and the instructions for the tyre are make it a bit shit.
Yeah.
Don't make it as good as you know you can make it.
So everyone's terrified of the Michelin USA moment, aren't they?
Yeah. But the thing you've got to remember as well is that when we're watching Formula One and everybody's sort of, well, not everybody, but certain people are fascinated by the engineering side of things, the technology that now goes into the cars, the skill of the drivers, everything else that goes into Formula One. It's the only thing that keeps those cars attached to the ground is the four pieces of not real rubber.
Unless you're Red Bull front wing, it's the only thing that touches the ground.
Yeah. That's it. So that's the only
thing. Pastor Maldonado's broken floor.
Or his head.
Yeah.
Or his rear wing. Or his front wing. Or Esteban Gutierrez's roof.
Poor pastor. So, I mean, basically what Pirelli are saying is... There is no better way of putting it.
Intelligent Formula One commentary brought to you by Three Legs, Four Wheels.
Basically, they have turned into Eric Cartman.
you guys!
The crazy thing about it, well, when I was reading it, was that line I read to you, it said that the Pirelli spokesman believes a 5-second reduction in lap time is too much. And 4 seconds is more reasonable.
Which smells like bullshit.
It does smell like bullshit because, like, as we were saying, a fucking driver can make the difference of a second.
Absolutely. Mm. Look at the team, for example, let's go with Force India.
I mean, it's the wrong way, but A Max Chilton, he can be the difference of 6 seconds. Backwards.
Absolutely. This is the thing, mate. Like, let's look at Force India. Like Nico Hülkenberg, great driver, won 24-hour Le Mans on his own. And Sergio Perez.
Blindfolded, I heard.
Yeah, blindfolded.
On a horse.
Yeah. Oh, dear. But the horse is also blindfolded.
Luxury.
We did.
Yeah.
Sergio Perez could easily out-qualify Nico Hülkenberg. And vice versa, by a second, such as the variant of like a midfield car. Yeah. Same with Williams, maybe Red Bull, like sort of the upper midfield.
Yeah, but there's been a few couple of sort of Lewis Hamilton special laps come out where he's been on pole by almost a second.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's it. Yeah. So if Rosberg, for example, is 4 seconds quicker than last year's pole position, and that's deemed okay by the tyre manufacturer, and then Hamilton goes out and does a Hamilton and smashes almost a 1 second faster lap, are Pirelli going to turn around and go, unsafe, Lewis,
and what are you doing,
that's so unsafe to drive that fast on those tyres,
you're racing too fast,
you're racing too fast for our plastic rubber,
In a hurry, are we, sir?
Yeah.
Who do you think you are, Nigel Mansell?
No, I've got more than one championship.
I'd have gone for no, I've got more than one eyebrow, but that is acceptable.
But the other thing that they were saying that the prediction is that with the new aero rules, there's going to be a 25-60% increase. See, there's another massive margin there in a sport that deals in fractions.
Yeah, in a sport that deals with 0.0001 of a second on occasions.
It smells to me, the more I read about the sort of the 2017 refresh for Formula One, that we're going to get halfway through this year and all we're going to learn is that no fucker can agree with each other on what should go on and what should happen.
We're not going to learn that. We knew that already.
Yeah, but...
We're going to have it confirmed to us.
Yeah. Formula One needs somebody at the top who isn't Bernie Eccleston.
How many sports can you think of where the teams have so much say in the running of the sport?
Yeah.
It's not right. They should be given a set of rules, and if they don't like the
That's
set
what
of
I was about
rules,
to say. The
they
guy
should go somewhere else.
The guy at the top of the of Formula
Formula
One.
Palmer Audi.
Yeah.
The team ran the sport. Oh.
Yeah, the team were the sport.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whoever is the head honcho of Formula One after Bernie just needs to
Christian Horner just needs to be
like, this is what's happening. Deal yeah. with it.
Now, funny you should mention the next head honcho of Formula One, because Ron Dennis has come out this week and said that they should look outside F1 for the next boss.
Maybe sailing.
I think McLaren should do that.
Well, they haven't been inside F1 this season. So does this mean Ron Dennis is going to retire from F1 and then all of a sudden reappear in 2 years' time as Bernie 2?
No, Ross Brawn.
Too old. No, Ross Brawn's too old as well. It's you need someone younger.
Everyone's younger than Bernie.
Well, Alex Wurz.
Not a bad shout. But I mean, I don't. He's reportedly a very clever bloke, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, inside the sport, but
yeah.
I mean, he's one of those people.
Very shrewd.
Yeah, he turned down the manager job.
Yeah.
No, he's a very shrewd negotiator, apparently.
But
he's very well respected.
I don't know. I can see Christian Horner more in that role than anybody else, really.
Martin Whitmarsh.
You're right, Ron.
Remember me?
Yeah, I've got
daddy now.
Daddy's ketchup.
Saucy. Oh, no, stop it.
Use the sauce, Lou.
Keep wondering why our listeners keep, well, falling asleep. But yeah, I think it's a serious point that.
You're trying to say that half our listeners think this is a fucking sleep aid.
Shit.
I don't care, as long as they're downloading it.
Yeah.
Murphy falls asleep, listen to this.
Murphy's probably asleep right now. Let's send him a subliminal message. It's not that subliminal. Jeff.
Turn up on time.
Jeff. Steve loves you. Love
so
him.
This is some terrible in jokes.
Love him
here.
Back.
Yeah, moving back. The problem with professional sports administrators is that they are professional sports administrators and they have absolutely no idea of what it's like to compete at the sharp end. If you look at all the problems that FIFA have been having, that has been run for the most part by people that have never actually kicked a football in their lives. So, is it a good idea to have somebody with racing knowledge or competitive team knowledge running things because they know what the teams are going through?
Well, I believe what FIFA are doing at the moment, they're having a very tumultuous time of things going through many changes, a new FIFA president, etc. But the investigation into FIFA has suggested that the commercial and sporting side of the business sport are kept completely separate, like separate organisations, one to help run the sport, one to help run the commercial side of things. It should be the same with Formula One.
Yeah.
There should be a commercial side of things and a sport side of things.
Well, there should be a sport that is manufactured, because whichever way we look at it, a set of rules have to be made and adhered to, not just to suit teams and to make it like a fair open thing. It needs to be a marketable, entertaining product. So there needs to be something there to make it worthwhile to watch in the end. But as soon as that's in place, then it should be like any other product, which is given to a marketing team and said, right, now go and sell that.
Yeah.
You know, it shouldn't be the case of the marketing team coming in and going, well, we need this and we need that, and like people like Purple.
Well, I think there's nothing wrong with the commercial side saying, look, this is what will sell well.
Mm-hmm.
Come up with rules that'll help do that.
Yeah, but when you've got a man whose job is supposed to be look after the commercial side of Formula One, and he's nudging teams every now and again going, sign that driver. do this. Why don't you guys get together and do this instead?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a little bit. It comes across. Yeah. They need an engine. Hey, it'd be great if those Cosworth. You know, if they could put an engine together.
Yeah. Oh, what do you mean? Oh, you don't want to give Red Bull an engine? Oh, right. Oh, well. Enjoy all that TV time you're going to get then.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's there are things like that, and it's just how anonymous have Sauber been? What does Sauber do to piss off Bernie Eccleston?
God only knows.
But.
I've never thought of that before. I mean, I know they've been a bit anonymous in there, like on track. But do you think that's to do with how they handled themselves at the beginning of the season?
It might well have
could easily be.
Do you think that he thought, well, three drivers are somebody else and someone else's overalls?
You've acted like a set of numpties, right? Your sponsors aren't going to get value for the money that they're paying you.
Yeah.
See you in 2016.
Yes, that is... I've never considered that myself, actually.
But I mean, it's a valid point to think that why does the man who's supposed to be running the commercial side of things for the sport, and, okay, he's got his own freight company, which he tendered out the contracts to.
Yeah.
For I think he created the company, actually, for that purpose.
Yeah.
Why does he get to have the say in how the sport is run rule-wise? And as I say, walks into teams and goes, you shouldn't be doing that, maybe you should be doing this. Oh, but you know how you didn't want to give them an engine, but maybe you should consider giving that team your engine.
More fingers in more pies than a cross.
Exactly. It shouldn't be that way. It should be the commercial side separate to the racing side of things. And yeah, of course you're going to have times where the commercial side are talking to the racing side and vice versa, but that should be two separate organisations working under one umbrella.
Is Formula One valued at, is it 800 million it brings in a year, or is it 8 billion?
I think it's 8 billion.
8 billion, I thought it was billion, but it felt like too much in my head there. Martin Brundle had a great point. I know this is slightly off top of what we're saying, but...
What's going off on a tangent?
Well...
Never.
Martin Brundle said in an interview, you've got a sport that's worth 8 billion, it costs... what did he say was the minimum of what you really need? It's 15 million to run a competitive-ish team.
Yeah.
Like, that's more than Manor, about the same as Force India.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got a sport that's worth 8 billion. A team can be run on 15 million. Yeah. Teams can't afford to go racing because they're not getting any fucking money out of the sport.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, I mean, where's your... where are your numbers getting shifted around there for this? I don't understand where it's
that's
going.
Why this is what you know the teams I believe should have a bigger dividend of the money because the funds that come into Formula One because it's the teams that will invest into
maybe that's the deal that needs to be brokered.
Yeah, I mean you can have
more money, but you have less power.
Yeah,
over the sport.
But you invest into the cars, which means you're investing into the sport, which means the technology will progress.
Mm-hmm.
Further driver initiatives, you know, going through the lower formula will be better financed, and you've got to look at things like that and sort of think, well, long term that's going to be good for the sport, good for why it's around.
But unfortunately, because of the position that it's got in Ferrari, who probably get something like 49% of all the available prize money anyway, regardless of where and how they finish, we'll just turn around and go, nope, we want to keep it as it is, thank you, please make checks payable to.
That's the problem. And I think Lee's just saying there, you know, give them the money, tell them they can't have the power, which would make more sense.
Yes, but they've got the power, which means that if
they don't need the money.
Well, they get the money and the power.
Yeah.
So...
minute after minute. Hour after hour.
Half of them ain't looking.
Yeah, no more will to pay royalties. what does that leave us with?
Nothing. Really.
So, basically, what we're saying is we're done in half the time that we were last week.
Which is good, because Rich Walker said that we did podcasts that were too long.
Well, it wasn't just this one,
Rich Walker doesn't like talkers.
Hey! It wasn't just this, it was the 1 hour 50 minute NFL podcast of Three Legs Fourth Down that you listened to.
Well, I don't think we've ever done that one.
I think quite that long. Probably more upset that people listen to us.
I'm just happy that people listen to us.
I'm happy. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for listening. Thanks to all our listeners.
The ones that stayed awake this far. We'll be back at an as yet undetermined time in the future.
It depends if there's any news.
We'll be back when there's stuff to talk about.
Basically, yes. Possibly sometime around the wet weather test that three teams are doing.
Yeah. Well, there's press rule out there, so there will be news and times come out of it.
I don't know, the launches aren't taking place until February.
No, yeah, this press have been invited to the...
There's going to be press. We'll have something to talk about.
We will.
Only two teams as well, isn't there?
Yeah, if Formula One management, after all that slagging off, want to send us out there and cover it live, then we'll be more than happy to take you up on that.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that means you'll be going to France 2 weeks on the trot.
That's fine.
Okay. May we? Oh, no, sorry. Yes. I don't want to talk in secret code.
No.
just in case you need it translating.
But I don't want to mention Jacques Villeneuve too much either, otherwise he might just pop up and start playing a song.
No, that's not going to happen this week.
I can make him play a song.
No!
No, don't say it, baby. On that note, we will see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.